Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'm going to have a more serious order today. Going to look for a tragedy that brings about positive change.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here as always with Jamie. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. This is a case that normally doesn't get brought to True Crime to Go. We try to do more lighthearted stuff, but this was a story I felt like we needed to tell. And I think this is the only platform we have that it's going to fit correctly in. So it's a good story. It's just a tragic one. Why don't you go ahead and get us rolling?
All right. Today we are going to be covering a heartbreaking case out of Nashville, Tennessee. And this case has sparked a push for legal reform. This is a story behind Jillian's Law, which was a bill born out of the tragic death of 18-year-old Jillian Ludwig, a Belmont University student who was killed by a stray bullet in November of 2023.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a tragic case, and it's really infuriating. It shows a lot of gaps in the criminal justice system when it comes to handling offenders that are deemed incompetent to stand trial, which is a topic we talk a lot about in the main show and kind of what that means. So Jillian was originally from New Jersey. She was a talented musician. She tried to use her gifts to help others. I was watching a documentary with my wife literally yesterday, and they did the "and he lit up a room" thing. And they say that about everybody who's a victim most of the time, but that was certainly the case with Jillian. She organized fundraisers for the homeless and played in a band called Arcadia. Her death really left a void in the lives of everybody that knew her. Thankfully, her family has used this for change, which we'll talk about in a minute. But on the night she was killed, Jillian was walking in the Edge Hill Community Memorial Gardens Park when she was struck in the head by a stray bullet fired from across the street. They would pretty quickly locate the shooter and figure out it was 29-year-old Shaquille Taylor, and he readily admitted that he's the one that fired the shots, claiming he was aiming at a bypassing vehicle and that Jillian was a victim because she was in the background.
Taylor's criminal history is alarming. He was a repeat offender who had been in and out of the criminal justice system. Earlier that year, April of 2023, he was prosecuted for assault with a deadly weapon. However, that case was dismissed after three court-appointed physicians determined that he was incompetent to stand trial. Despite his violent past, Taylor was released back onto the streets, which was a decision that would ultimately prove to be fatal for Jillian.
And Jillian's Law, again, this is named after her, and people pushed for it in her name, tries to address this specific issue. The bill mandates that defendants who are charged with a felony or Class A misdemeanor and are found incompetent to stand trial must be committed to an appropriate treatment facility. Previously, there was no requirement for such offenders to be treated or institutionalized, which left kind of a gap in the justice system. If this individual was competent to stand trial, they would have been sentenced and served time. But since they were not held competent, they were not held accountable in any way and did not get any treatment. So they would slip through the cracks and obviously ended up being repeat offenders in some cases.
In addition to mandatory commitment, Jillian's Law also requires that those found incompetent to stand trial at least be entered into the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. This database is used to prevent individuals who are prohibited from buying or owning firearms from doing so. So it is a crucial step into ensuring that those who pose a substantial risk are unable to access weapons.
And the obvious issue here is we're talking about people being charged with crimes. They've not been found guilty by a jury of their peers. So we're punishing people without convicting them, and we can't convict them because they're not mentally competent for trial. So this gets really complex. Obviously, this law that has been passed and is going to affect comes too late for Jillian, but her family really wants to make sure that something positive comes from this tragedy. They've been vocal in their criticism of the system, and Matt Ludwig, her dad, expressed his frustration in a recent interview where he said, if there is a determination that someone's mentally unwell, then there should be some way to handle that in a manner that won't allow them to get back onto the street.
And, you know, I think it's hard to disagree, but I guess logistically is how, you know what I mean?
Right.
We can process that more in a minute. Jillian's family is now committed to seeing justice served. They have vowed to attend Taylor's criminal trial until its conclusion, and they've made it their mission to ensure that no other family has to go through what they've went through. Jillian's mother, Jessica, described her daughter as a young woman with infinite enthusiasm and passion for music. Jillian was thriving at Belmont University, where she was pursuing a career in the music industry, and, I mean, it seems like she was well on her way.
Yeah, she was doing really well, and I know some youth who have gone on to Belmont. Seems like a great school and a great community, but it was certainly a tragedy. And Taylor has been indicted. He was indicted in March of this year for the murder of Jillian, but his trial date has not been set because they're trying to figure out whether or not he's competent to go to trial for this murder. So this goes right back to the issue at hand of what Jillian's law is all about. And yeah, I think you're right. What her dad says makes perfect sense, but it gets really tricky when we're punishing people who haven't been convicted. And where does that line? I don't know. Do I think he should have been on the street without receiving some type of mandated treatment? No. Do I think we need to create some guidelines and laws that help to address this situation so these people can get help and accountability? Absolutely. But those are conversations that are tough to have. Do you agree? Like, am I overcomplicating this?
No, I mean, it is a complicated issue. I mean, where's the line? If you're not convicted, but yet you're deemed to be considered unsafe to live in public, where do you go from there? I mean, it's, you know, I have my thoughts. I'll probably keep them to myself, but I just don't know how you can police that. And I don't know what it would look like. I don't know, you know, every American has a constitutional right to be free, and you're guilty until you're proven innocent. So where's the line there?
And with Jillian's law, I'm sure it exists somewhere, but where are the resources coming from that are going to address this?
And I wholeheartedly agree with Jillian's law. I'm taking it a step further to say, if you're not convicted of a crime yet, a court would say that you're not, you know, a safe individual to live publicly. You can't really arrest someone unless they're convicted of a crime. So how can you, what barriers are in place to keep them safe and everyone else around them safe? But Jillian's law is perfect. I mean, the glaring loophole is most criminals don't obtain weapons legally, right? So just because you have a mark beside you on a background check, most people with weapons that shouldn't have them don't go to a store where you can legally buy them. They're stolen or they're bought off the streets from someone else who's stolen them.
Yeah. No, there's really no win here, but I do feel like this is a step in the right direction of at least having those conversations and putting some guidelines in place and hopeful that this will save some lives and allow people that need treatment to get that treatment. So step in the right direction. And I'll be interested to see how other states respond to this, but pretty fascinating, interesting story that I thought our listeners would enjoy.
This is a totally random and not at all related comment, but my family just went to see the play Descendants. All the bad guys were living on an island. I mean, you know, just throwing that out there.
That's true. That's
just don't open the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't, if we invent a portal, we'll take care of this for everybody.
All right.
All right. That's been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.